Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to be mad.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my honey.
Promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly on my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
Let me tell you what I want. All right, welcome back in. Second hour here on The Fan. If you missed the first, check it out at the Les Schwab Tires podcast on demand section, 1080thefan.com. Talked a lot of game two. Wanted to read some thoughts here at the Better You Today text line on what the Blazers should do. Will they win this game? What to expect? I'm nervous as all hell.
I am too.
I've had like five people. What do you think? Like, I'll go down with the ship. I'll be the Titanic captain and just rock the wheel as the iceberg's destroying my boat. I pick Golden State to win this series, but I'll go down saying I think Portland can win tonight. I really do.
I mean, we've seen L.A. and Houston make it a six-game series against Golden State, so there's no reason the Portland's just going to get bounced this easily. That was the only part about the opinion down there being Golden State or 4 or 5 that I slightly disagree with. The way Portland's been playing, there's no reason they can't win a couple of games. They played as bad as they possibly could have on Tuesday night, and it's hard to imagine it's going to be a similar performance.
This came across the old wire from Ramona Shelburne. According to her, Kevin Durant isn't close to returning, hasn't resumed basketball activities yet. If they go up 2-0, all you diehard Blazer maniacs out there, I mean this wholeheartedly. God bless you for still believing we can win the series. That's awesome. I personally think the series is over at that point because are you beating this team 4 out of 5 times, barring an injury?
I mean, we saw Houston win back-to-back and then lose back-to-back after tying up the series 2-2.
They're just a juggernaut, dude. I mean, there's a reason they're winning.
They're the Warriors.
But if they go up 2-0, you know, if I'm Steve Kerr and even Kevin Durant, he's got a busy summer coming ahead and he doesn't want to be injured going into it. I'd almost wait out game three. And then if you can beat Portland in game three, there is zero reason to bring him back in this series.
And that's also not a shock to find out he's not close to returning.
No.
Like you gave the number, I can't remember what it was, but he's had an injury similar to this and he missed like 3 weeks. So, I mean, we are only a week removed or just slightly more than a week removed because I believe the injury happened in game 5 of their Houston series, which was last Wednesday. And so, I mean, you're 8 days away from when the injury actually happened. So I'm sure they reevaluated today, tested it out, realized that, no, this is going to take some more time. And my stance on this really the entire time has been I think the soonest we'll see him, the best case scenario for Golden State is game 5. Which, again, highlights the importance for Portland, that if you want to try and capitalize in any way, shape, or form, it's got to come sooner than later because Durant might eventually come back in this series, but I'd be shocked if we see him in Game 3 or Game 4.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Let's read some thoughts here at the Better You Today text line. P1 Jesse thought you were going to advocate for some hammer time.
Hey, I'm cool with some hammer time, man. He brings a little bit of an edge. Maybe he gets it into it with Draymond Green a little bit. He can grab some boards. If he knocks down an early three, he can get his rhythm going a little bit. At this point, I'm pro hammer time. I am slightly disappointed, though, because I got an email today that said my Bless shorts were here, and they're nowhere to be found.
Oh, they're not actually here.
They're not here. So maybe they're in, like, an outside mailbox or something, but I was hoping to rock my Bless shorts for the game tonight, and I have not found them.
You have to go. No, because all our mail is delivered in.
Yeah, right? But I got the email. It said, from the Myers Leonard brand, your order has been delivered.
Imagine being a pro basketball player. Like, you've achieved something that nobody else can really do. And you walk into the locker room tonight, and the assistant coach goes, hey, Myers, come here. This is what we want you to do tonight. just fight Draymond Green.
Just go punch him in the face.
Yeah, like set good screens, yeah. coach, and really battle. Yeah. No. We actually want you to throw a punch in his face because there's a good chance he's going to punch you back and he'll get suspended for it.
Exactly.
So you don't want me to shoot?
No.
Just punch.
No.
Thanks, Myers.
The main thing with Myers, if he does end up playing tonight, he has to be aggressive. Like that,
he needs weak joke, but he does need to be the real big D that Golden State Warrior fans hate.
He got into it with Jokic, which I love, but then in Game 7, he was playing good defense. They found him in a wide open three because, of course, teams just aren't going to guard him, and he barely missed it. It was a good look, barely missed it, and then like two possessions later, he had another wide open three, and he wouldn't take it. That just kind of sums up the Myers-Leonard issue. But that's one of the things, whether Collins is on or not, that I appreciate. He'll go. Like he missed his first wide-open three. He's not going to hesitate to take another one. You're an NBA player. You have to have confidence. And if he's going to play, he's got to have confidence on the offensive end.
All right, here's a few thoughts, and then we'll get to the Eastern Conference Finals Game 1. Let's see. Hood at point.
Ooh.
Hood at point.
Mm.
Dame at the 2. CJ at 3.
Whoa.
Then you can play with Layman and Turner.
Wow, that's a small lineup.
That's a really small lineup.
That's all forwards. What'd be the tallest guy in that lineup? What's Evan Turner, like 6'7"?
Yeah, about that. What would our thoughts be if we watched Rodney Hood run point tonight? Like, seriously, what would you be thinking? You're watching TV, you turn it on, Rodney Hood is in the back, they toss it to him, they win the toss, and you just see him running point all night.
How many does he score on Curry? Because if it's 25 plus like Game 6, I am all for it.
I mean, if it works, you run with anything.
I don't know his strengths as a facilitator. He's not much of a pat. I mean, he's a good offensive player. Doesn't seem to be a good distributor.
No, he's a scorer.
Yeah,
he gives you a little defense, but he's mainly just a scorer. He's out there as a shooter. All right, let's read another one. Tom Brady thinks the Blazers should deflate the ball.
Mm.
That could work for him.
Yeah, you never know.
Any other ball boys in town and willing to run it to the restroom, act like they're taking a long piss, and then deflate the ball.
Got
to
give it everything you got, man.
We couldn't have done all that in 90 seconds. Yes, you did.
Everything you got.
Here's an idea about the Blazers. Don't turn the ball over 21 times, including the 7 by the always incredible Lillard.
Yeah, I don't know who says he's always incredible, but yes, they need to cut down on turnovers, mainly Damian Lillard. And it goes to your point of getting rid of it sooner when he gets double teamed, identifying the looks they're going to throw at you and realizing it before it comes. And Portland's a team that can handle those. Like, I think the Denver series, again, is a prime example of this. They had 18 in game one, and it led to 23 points the other direction for Denver. It was the main reason they lost the first game of that series. They went back to Denver for a winner-take-all game 7. They had 4 turnovers. They can control those and bring those down without a doubt.
Somebody suggests we call the lineup the West Hills 5 lineup, F the Hamptons 5.
The West Hills 5, huh? Okay.
We're stealing too many of their things, like bros and 5.
Yeah, the Wet Bandits got to play better tonight.
The problem with your Wet Bandits nickname is they get caught.
I know.
And then they become the Sticky Bandits.
So
that can mean an entirely different thing with pro basketball players.
They're just good criminals, good-hearted criminals.
Somebody else, how about you make your effing free throws? Well, if you're going to get that many free throw attempts, because you almost doubled them up.
Weren't they okay from the free throw line in game one? Am I mistaken on
that? I don't know. I was just reading the text. I don't remember the box score on that.
I'm pulling
I remember
it
they got a ton of foul
calls. They were
calls.
27-31.
Yeah, that's
that
pretty damn
good. That
was
not the problem.
That's 87% as a team.
Hey, if they make those 4, they only lose by 22.
Aminu missed 1.
Or
Collins
18.
Missed 2. And CJ missed 1. Dame was 9-for-9 after all.
I'm just reading that. Don't yell at me. I'm just reading the text line.
I got the
here.
Box score right here.
27-31 is good. But that is an area, though, I think Portland can continue to capitalize. I think they have an advantage on that. Like, Warriors fans bitching about them not getting more free throws is dumb. They dominated from the perimeter. They didn't attack the hoop as much as Portland did. That's an area I think Portland has to maintain. That was one of the only positives out of game one was getting guys into foul trouble, getting Golden State into the bonus early, and getting to the foul line. Now, when you get there, like they did in game one, you have to capitalize. But 27, they outscored Golden State 27-15 at the free throw line. That's a 12-point swing. That's huge.
Okay, very quickly, because I want to actually break right on time today. Very, very quickly.
Okay.
How much credence do you give to the Dame tired thing?
I think
where do you weigh in on that?
I don't like doing that. You know why? That's no different to me than what people do with Steph Curry.
Like he's injured. He's not playing
every
well,
time
so he's
he plays bad or looks sluggish. Are we going to say he's just tired? Like, we just complained about people doing that with Steph when he has an off shooting night. Man, that finger must be banged up. And then he goes for 33 in the second half and he's perfectly fine. Dame was tired in game 5 when they got blown out in Denver. He was perfectly fine in game 6 when he went off for 30 points and couldn't miss a shot. Then he was tired again in game 7. Now he's tired again in game 1. And if he goes for 30 tonight, is he still tired? I think it's really hard for him to score against defenses when they guard him this way. Yep. That's just a reality.
I think it's
known.
Part of the roster problem.
It's exactly a part of the roster problem, and it highlights him being an undersized guard and the difficulties that come with that in the NBA.
All right, well, we'll stick with basketball. Game 1 Eastern Conference Finals. What do we make of Giannis versus Kawhi in the first matchup? We'll talk a little East Finals and then get to Jonathan Smith, who said he doesn't care about social media. We need to discuss that. Both those things next on The Fan. Game 1 Eastern Conference Finals. Milwaukee beat Toronto yesterday 108-100. If you didn't watch this game like Jason Swigart, instead watched hockey and soccer, then you'd look at the box score and go, oh, that was probably Milwaukee running away with it there. No, Toronto was actually up by as many as 13. And Kyle Lowry actually had a really good game. We destroyed him, but I got to give it up to him. That dude stepped up big last night. He scored 14 in the fourth quarter. Kawhi had 3 points in the fourth quarter. And Toronto was up big most of this game. Milwaukee got their lead, I believe, late in the third, if not early fourth, for the first time in the since the first quarter. And ultimately, Brooke Lopez couldn't miss from three, and Milwaukee gets the win.
I believe I saw the stat, and I hope this is correct, that Raptors not named Kyle Lowry in the fourth quarter were 0 of 15.
They couldn't hit a bucket.
They didn't know. Literally, none of them made a shot. A couple of them had free throws, got to the foul, you know, that kind of stuff. But none of them made an actual field goal. That tells you all you need to know. You're not going to win a game when you only have one guy making shots. They were outscored by 15 points in the fourth quarter. And I thought Chuck made a really good point on the postgame show last night on TNT, and maybe he was pandering to the crowd a little bit because they kept kind of badgering him about his Portland pick and the Blazers getting blown out, and he was still optimistic that they can make it a series. But he looked at Toronto and the way that they lost this game and how much of a backbreaker it is. Now, we've done this a couple of times throughout the playoffs. Milwaukee, a lot of people thought they were done when they lost to Boston in game 1, came back to win. Toronto was down 2-1 to Philly. A lot of people thought that series was over. They came back to win. Portland, down 3-2, came back to win, right? So we've been through these before, but when you have a really good opportunity to steal a game on the road in game 1, and as you mentioned, they led essentially throughout. I mean, they were up by 9 at the end of the first quarter. They're up by 6 at the half, up by 5 going into the fourth, and then you get outscored by 15 in the fourth quarter. You can't let those ones slip, especially when Kyle Lowry, who has been just atrocious throughout the length of his career in the postseason, and looking back to game 7, he was so hesitant he didn't even want to shoot the ball. You got a great performance from him. Like, everything was set up for Toronto to go in and steal game 1, and they let it slip through their fingers, and that is a tough one, I think, to come back from in game 2.
Yeah, that was it felt like they really stole one there. It felt like they walked out of that and went, oh my God, we're 3 wins away from the finals. Kind of felt like Toronto, and watching the whole game, you know, Toronto would go up and then Milwaukee would cut it to about 6 or 7.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after Milwaukee would do that, Toronto always responded.
Respond, yeah.
They always pushed it right back to 10 to 11. And I think Milwaukee really struggled because guys were hitting shots early on, especially from behind the line. Toronto played at a quick tempo pace. I thought that was an interesting strategy. Like, Lowry, every single time, make or miss, ran the ball up the court and put them in, like, hurry back mode. And then, you know, Kawhi was really good until he wasn't. Reggie and Weber were on the call with Marv Albert, and they had mentioned the minutes problem and just how basically he wasn't resting. They've got to rest him. Like, the burden on him is a little bit like Damian Lillard in the sense of, if he doesn't get it, you kind of wonder who will. Right? Like, at least Portland has CJ to go, oh, CJ can go get you 25.
He's won you a game. He won you game 7.
Before yesterday, I don't know if you could have pointed that person out for Toronto. Like,
no, that you trust at least.
Right. Lowry doesn't do it in the playoffs traditionally. Siakam has been a good story, but can he do it? He was hot potato in the ball in the game 7. And Marcus saw shooting a lot of threes, but that's kind of what his game is evolving into. And Ibaka, I mean, he gave you a great game 7 against Philly. That's not a given for most nights. This is either going to be a back and forth great series that goes 6-7, or Milwaukee's going to play significantly better and Toronto is going to look back and go, yeah, we blew that one.
Yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet just because of the Kawhi Leonard factor. The way that guy played in that series against Philly was tremendous all the way up until him making the game-winning shot, which is one of the crazier ones I've ever seen. I'm not going to count that guy out. He comes to play in the postseason, and he's an NBA Finals MVP for a reason. The issue that Toronto has, I think that's the biggest right now, they have their quote-unquote big three of Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry, and Siakam. Siakam has just disappeared. He's a tremendous story this year in the NBA, and he's fun, like a name that I didn't even know until like 2-3 months into the year. Like, who's this guy? He's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And he's had a great season. He just disappeared. Game 7, he did not want to shoot. Last night, 6 of 20, 2 of 9 from 3, missed a free throw. Turnover. He's not playing good basketball. And when Milwaukee's able to, you know what Giannis is going to do every night. And that's the scary part, is he only had 24 last night and they still won the game. And he's capable of playing much better than that. But when you get Brooke Lopez catching hot the way that he did, Brogdon coming off the bench, knocking down some threes.
He was a real energy booster for them.
Ilyasova had a good game. Like, they had a couple of role players really step up. And until Toronto finds a way to get Siakam going again, you're kind of looking at Kawhi Leonard and saying, go win this one by yourself. He's capable of doing it, but it's just not a real long-term success strategy.
You know who else had some pretty big buckets for them? And I had like flashbacks. Mirotić.
Yeah.
He had a couple moments, and I just was like, oh God, Mirotić.
The four that can stretch and knock down threes.
Talk about a guy I wish Portland would have picked up. That dude.
That's exactly what you need.
Also, I got a kick out of... I don't know how many people knew this. The Lakers let Brooke Lopez go.
Just straight let him go.
They could have re-signed him, and he probably would have agreed, because he only signed, I think, a one-year, $5 million deal with Milwaukee. And the Lakers instead said, no, we want JaVale. And then they ended up having Muscala step up. Then they traded him for a bag of beans to the Clippers.
They traded him for nothing to the Clippers.
And Brooke Lopez is out there dropping 29 points. He's averaging like 6 or 7 three-point attempts a game, just helping Bud and Giannis get that offense going.
He took over in the fourth quarter last night. Who had that in their Eastern Conference Finals bingo? Brooke Lopez being the fourth quarter MVP.
Dude, he got the walk-off interview with TNT.
He did. I never thought I'd see that in a Milwaukee game.
Had you ever heard him talk?
I have. They both sound weird.
They sound weird, but, like, he's got far more energy than Rolo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were like, Brooke, what did you do different? You know, we just got to play with intensity.
Starts yelling at you right off the bat. Whoa.
God. Whoa. She's only 5'5". Leave her alone, Brooke.
Calm down, Brooke.
What are you doing here?
Calm down. I do hope that one ends up going long, though, because I think you have the ability for that series to be a good back-and-forth one. And Toronto has to know, like, in your mind, you have to know, you could have won that game. You probably should have won that game. You led essentially throughout, and going into the fourth quarter, you let it slip. So there's the sliver of confidence that it gives you going into game two, knowing that you have what it takes to put yourself in a position to win that game.
Still nervous, though, that this is going to be a Dubs championship again.
Milwaukee hasn't shown you enough?
No, I mean, like, I'll just tell you right now, if Milwaukee wins, I'm going to pick them, because let's put it in the universe.
Yeah.
But damn it, man. They have a night like that. Golden State's not going to have a Toronto moment.
No.
They're going to be up 20 points.
Although they did blow a, 30-point lead against the Clippers.
31.
31-point lead against the Clippers.
I didn't know if you knew that was an NBA record in a playoff game.
I think that has to do with just being a first-round game more so than them just falling asleep. But
them in the numbers 3-1, they just don't do well with those situations. Maybe Portland should get down 31 points and they can win.
Now, did you see what the Milwaukee radio station's doing? You see this story?
I think I did see this on the fan account.
Yeah, so they're apparently banning Drake music in the city of Milwaukee until the series is over.
Just hold on. I'm coming home.
Just not going to. No Drake music.
I find that stuff kind of corny, because I don't think people are listening to music in their car going, oh my God, we're playing the Raptors. How dare you?
Like, do people want Portland radio stations to do that? How many records?
Who would we boycott? Who's the biggest Bay Area artists outside of E-40.
No Huey Lewis in the news now for the next.
True. Metallica is pretty big.
They're from the Bay?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They always have nights at Giants. They do like play the national anthem with the guitars and stuff.
So would there be like outrage if we boycotted Metallica?
Too Short? Couldn't play Too Short anymore?
You couldn't play? Yeah. Too Short. Yeah. No.
What about, what's the funk band?
Tony Bennett?
Tower of Power, right? Aren't they from
Tower Power Horns?
Yeah. Tower of Power.
There's a lot of, I guess there's a lot more artists. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of artists from down there.
But, like, do we need that? Does that do anything for us?
I don't think so. Like, if we played an E40 music as our next rejoiner, would anybody get mad?
Well, I would say this. Would anybody notice if you boycotted some of these bands? Like, KGON.
Yeah.
What if they went a week without playing one Metallica song? Do you think people would call in and go, why are you playing Metallica? No,
actually, yeah, I do think there'd be a few people like, why haven't I heard Nirvana in the Metallica in the last 3 days or something? Yeah. I think they'd hear about it.
I don't think about those things when I'm listening to music. Mm. Like, oh,
give me some Enter Sandman now.
Portland's playing the Raptors. I don't want to hear Drake.
That's a lot easier to do with Drake because nobody likes Drake anyways. Hey-o.
I mean, it worked for him, but that's clearly like a look at us, give us the attention type move.
I'd be, you know what, I outside of Portland, I do hope that Milwaukee wins the championship.
Somebody said they're boycotting Rice-A-Roni.
Rice-A-Roni?
Yeah,
it is the San Francisco tree.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Have you not eaten Rice-A-Roni lately?
I have not had Rice-A-Roni in a long time.
No sourdough here for the next week and a half?
That's tough. I love sourdough bread.
You know what I usually get is, I just bought it yesterday. I get Rice-A-Roni Mexican-style rice.
I mean, Rice-A-Roni's good. I just haven't got it in a long time.
Delightful.
Yeah.
I like it.
Should I boycott watching Giants games for a while? Do I need to do that?
Well, I mean, the team does suck. It'll probably be helpful for you.
That's true. They do suck, so it's not like I'm going to miss much.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, game one, Milwaukee up 1-0 in that series. Hey, Jonathan Smith said he doesn't really care about social media. Man, is he missing the mark? Is this a big deal for Oregon State, and how concerned are you if you're a Beaver fan? We're going to talk Jonathan Smith. I think he's going to be in studio sometime soon, too, right? Didn't we have that offered up to us?
Yeah, I think it's later this month. We'll have to...
I felt like it was like the 23rd or 24th-ish.
Something like that.
So if that happens, we're for sure going to ask him and get his thoughts on it. Maybe his quote is being taken out of context. I don't know. But let's talk about this story because it was put on olive.com yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of responses to it. We'll talk about that next.
Welcome back in, 132. Hope Thursdays are going well. Get back into the Blazers in the final hour of the show. Swags Plums at 2:15.
A lot of people texting bands.
Yeah.
Like Journey.
Journey. We forgot about Journey. Grateful Dead. Green Day. I didn't know Green Day was from the Bay Area. I didn't know that one.
I don't know how true this is, but I'm going to take this listener's word for it.
Okay.
This person says the burrito was developed in the Mission District of San Francisco. I'm not giving up burritos.
You're not that passionate?
Hell no, dude. Burritos are amazing.
Take a stand, Sprague.
There is almost nothing outside of keeping my family healthy that I will give up Mexican food for.
Do you really think not eating a burrito for a week and a half is going to, you know, alter the course
That's
of this series?
The difference.
Sure don't.
That is the difference.
And it's going to make me happy, so it sounds like I'm not doing it.
Yeah, keep sending your stuff to boycott in. So this came across Twitter yesterday, and it has caused quite the kerfuffle amongst the Oregon State fan base. To the point I saw, you responded to a tweet. There was an account that like covers Oregon State recruiting.
Can I? Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Tell the people.
So I don't know the person or the tweet. Yeah. I've never seen the account before, but they had sent out a tweet saying, yeah, I'm done. I'm deleting my account. I've nothing to cover and talk about anymore. I don't want to do this. I am shutting everything down.
So I don't know who that person is. I've never seen that account in my life. I saw that tweet because a buddy of mine from college that we did media stuff and he works at Nike now, he tweeted and responded to that person and that's how I saw it.
Uh-huh.
And I was on the crapper.
Yeah.
I tweeted out something earlier about Smith's quote on Oregon Live. And when I saw that tweet, I actually laughed and I just thought, this person needs to be brought. They need to be picked up.
They need some support in their life.
Now, Oregon State football has been god-awful for a while now. I am numb to it. They lose. They get blown out. I'm numb to it. You guys can't hurt my feelings with it. But I saw this and I said, this person needs to smile. So I thought, I'm going to tweet this person. I'm going to tell him, look, this is not a good look by him. It's not going to be in the world. Let's wait this out before we completely abandon any hope whatsoever that they'll ever win.
So here is the issue. And we've had a couple of people point this out recently. Jonathan Smith has not tweeted in like almost a calendar year. It's been like a long time.
October.
Since October? Like during the season?
I just read this. It was either last October.
Okay.
Like not this 2018, but like maybe. Yeah, I think it was 2018 October.
So it's been a long time since he sent out a tweet.
Now, that is kind of the new thing, the way people recruit. Mario Cristobal, just for an example, is very, has a big presence on social media, if you will. So Nick Daschle, who writes for the Oregonian, he covers Oregon State. He talked to Jonathan Smith about this. You know, social media, the way you use it, how does it apply to recruiting? Why don't you have a bigger presence? And here was the quote from Jonathan Smith, head coach at Oregon State. Quote, maybe I'm old school, but I'm just not into it that much. I'm way more into phone calls that I could have with recruits rather than retweeting their picture. That doesn't say I'm right for doing it and they're wrong. It's just a different way of doing it. I'm more into the authentic relationship. To which a lot of Beaver fans were frustrated by this because their recruiting tactics have come under criticism over the last calendar year. How do we feel about Jonathan Smith not wanting to have a presence on social media?
I actually think this is a huge problem. Now, this is not your end-all be-all. You can still win. You can still go find talent. I mean, hell, he just recruited Jamar Jefferson. This dude identifies talent. I think this guy can coach. I think that staff can coach. The problem is that you're not willing to adapt, and you're kind of, and this is the part that I also want to point out. I don't want to be taking this out of context. This is one quote. Maybe there's more to it than this, just that quote. And when we get him, we'll talk about that with him. But if you're just taking it with the quote, I think this makes you look terribly old and stubborn.
He's not that old.
He's not old. But, and I don't like, maybe I'm old school. You are old school, dude.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That's not a maybe. You are.
That is old school.
Every prominent coach is tweeting or has a staff loaded with people that are tweeting. They don't. They just don't. Their football account only tweets on game days, only tweets feel good. Hey, former player came to say hi or stuff like that. They don't tweet enough. Their coaching staff, not very active on Twitter. And when the head ball coach isn't tweeting, that is a problem. Like, you are trying to get talent. You're trying to get the attention. I might not be all for what the social media stuff is in recruiting nowadays, but if you don't think it helps, I don't know what to tell you. You're just a lost individual. It's 2019, and you're talking about how you don't want to tweet. I'm not telling you need to be tweeting every day like 19 times.
Sure.
You need to be on Twitter. I mean, hell, his mentor is on Twitter. Chris Peterson tweets all the time. Woof, big news coming for UW. How about our guys tonight? Man, I've really liked what I'm seeing. They're very corny, cliche tweets.
Right.
Cristobal has these too, but they're tweets. They're existing, right? They're out there. Their social media presence is felt. Oregon State's isn't. And that is a problem. They need to be getting on that. And whoever is within those buildings, the confines down there, they need to be telling him right now, that was a mistake to put that out. Because this is not having a good reaction.
No.
You're getting the few Beaver fans who are trying to defend this and act like this is not a big deal. But I think the bulk of us understand it's not your end-all be-all, but it does matter. So Mike Riley tweeted, for God's sakes. I mean, his last 3 years at Oregon State, he was tweeting all the time. Nebraska tweeting. It doesn't mean he wins, but he was recruiting decently at Nebraska. And you don't even have to tweet yourself. You can have people do this for you. I don't think Chris Peterson even knows how to tweet, but the SID next to him all the time is probably sending tweets off for him.
Just like Mike Riley didn't know how to tweet.
No, Mike Riley didn't even know how to get into his Twitter account. Yeah, I know who was tweeting for him.
He had somebody sending out tweets for him. I think the frustration here should be, look, if Jonathan Smith is like the best Twitter follow in the world and he's hilarious, he's funny, people need to follow him, he relates to recruits, does it mean that it's going to turn into a top five recruiting class in the Pac-12 for Oregon State? No. Like, it takes wins. It takes the infrastructure. There's a lot of things that go into recruiting. It's not just social media.
No.
The issue is when you're denying something that is a really strong factor to these kids. Now, I think older people can laugh at this a lot. And a similar example to this, honestly, would be the uniforms. And I'm going to use Oregon as an example of that. Like, when Oregon was changing their uniforms constantly initially, 20 years ago, 18 years ago, and it was a new look and their, you know, new modern style uniform, and a lot of the older people made fun of it. Like, this is dumb. Stick with your traditional colors. You look stupid. They're not trying to be attractive to 45-year-old guys. They are trying to be attractive to 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. And believe it or not, a lot of those kids saw that, would watch them on TV and think, those uniforms are sick, and it played a small part in their recruiting. And the Oregon staff now, I think, is a prime example of social media because the previous regime wanted nothing to do with it. Now, Chip Kelly was slightly before the social media onslaught, but when Mark Helfrich was promoted head coach, he wanted nothing to do with social media. Now, that was a low on the list of his main problems as a head coach, but not doing everything you could to relate to players and to get in contact with them and to have communication forms that you know they're always on and a part of, you're just missing a huge opportunity. So again, it doesn't mean that it's going to turn Jonathan Smith into this world-class recruiter.
Right.
You're just denying yourself an opportunity for no reason other than saying you're old school.
I guess where I ultimately come down, and Ben tweeted us, seeing tweeting can help, but you can win without it. You think Saban tweets, like,
don't, Nick Saban, stop.
Well, no, no.
But what, the greatest coach of all time.
I know. This is my point. Stop. Is you can't use Saban, but who else? Like, maybe Dabo's not on Twitter, but Clemson's football account's probably pretty active, I'd be willing to wager. And this is my point. It's not just that Jonathan Smith doesn't tweet. It's that your staff doesn't do it. And your football account doesn't really do it. I know this for a fact. There are people within the athletic department that acknowledge how piss poor run their social media is. It's just not good.
Right.
And they know and they're aware of it, but nothing's changing because, I mean, facts are this. Twitter is about being lazy or not being lazy. You don't have to like Twitter. I get it. I understand people that aren't on it. I personally think it's a great tool to have and provide content to people who may have missed moments on the show. Some people don't need to do it, you know, and I get that. But to overlook it and to not care about it is a mistake to me. I would almost equate it to this. As a radio host, I'm always looking for interesting stories or stats or just reading different people. It would be like me doing a radio show going, you know what? I'm just going to read the magazines and the newspapers. I don't need the internet.
No, I don't need to be on Twitter or social media.
That may have been all well and good in the 80s. Right. That's a bit of a mistake now in 2019. It's there. It's free. It costs you nothing.
Yeah.
It's a tool that everybody you want to come to your school and play for you is using. Why not do it? I don't understand not jumping on the benefit
right,
of it.
Right, right.
And think, that's where he loses me on.
Right, and I think the analogy of our jobs is good because if I didn't work in sports radio and I didn't have this job, I would not be on Twitter.
I wouldn't either. If I was truly out of the media game, I would not have Twitter.
If I was just had your run-of-the-mill job, just happy living in my life, going home and just doing my thing and had nothing to do with sports radio at all, there's no reason for me to be on Twitter. It's a cesspool. People, you know, there's trolls. Like I can't stand it. But part of it is having that presence, sending out tweets, just trying to have that platform to use to build your radio audience and to stay in contact as often as you can with your listeners. It's just smart for business. And radio hosts that don't do it, I don't quite understand that.
It's
and
free.
I mean, it's free. It's free advertising.
Here's my stuff.
It's free. Yeah, here's my opinion. Now tune into my show if you think that opinion's right. So right. What are your thoughts on this? 55305 is a bet you today text line. Jonathan Smith has been criticized lately for his recruiting tactics, and one of them being his lack of social media use. And he said, maybe I'm old school, but I'm just not on it that much. I'm way more into phone calls that I can have with recruits rather than retweeting their picture. That doesn't say I'm right for doing it and they're wrong. It's just a different way of doing it. I'm into the authentic relationship.
Well, and I know Nimick does this on our station, but like he has highlighted many a times their struggle in recruiting.
So there's no denying that. So
if you're struggling in something and there's something that might be able to help you a little bit, again, this goes back to my newspaper, magazine, or using the internet as a radio host. If my show is not doing well and I'm not providing enough, I don't know, storylines or stats or whatever it is, and I'm still going, I'm not much more on the internet, that's a me problem. Why would you not use the benefit of that?
Use everything at your disposal. What do you make of this? Is it a huge deal, a deal, or no deal at all? 55305. It's a Betty Today text line. We'll get into that a little bit more next. Crunch time on the Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Was not at the Glorious House of Gaines this morning.
Yeah, I ain't having that. You got me, I ain't having that.
Did you make it back today?
I did make it back.
Look at you.
Yeah, I'm trying
back
to get
on.
Yeah, yeah. I got a goal.
You got a goal. What's your goal now?
Run.
Running.
Run a lot.
Okay. Are you back there because it's been raining the last 2 days?
Yeah, I hate running in the rain. That sucks.
I can't blame you there. That does suck. Hey, Blazers, get back into that final hour. Swags, plums, poll questions, all of that still to come. We're talking about Jonathan Smith in the last segment. He had a quote given to the Oregonian yesterday about not wanting to be on social media. He wants more of an authentic relationship, doesn't use social media to recruit kids, and this caused a bit of an issue with Beaver fans. I threw a poll question out on this. We've had Beaver fans arguing back and forth in our mentions now for the last basically 2.5 hours. Let's read some thoughts at the Bet You Today text line 55305. We said, as a Beaver fan, it pains me to see them not even try on social media. Smith's mentality about this doesn't exist in the 16-year-olds today. Adapt or die. Another one, social media is the new norm. You're not swimming in the social media pool. If you're not swimming in the social media pool, you're not doing it right. Another one, as a lifelong Beaver fan, I just got to give them time. I hate recruiting rankings, believe they are all worthless. In a few years, we'll know if his blue-collar approach is working. Until then, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
On that one, I would say I'm more with the listener on the, I am going to give this time. Like, I'm not going to be one to proclaim that they're never going to win because of this. It matters to me, but it's not the, again, I keep using this term, the end all be all. Recruiting rankings do matter. I have to go find, when was the last time a national championship team was ranked outside of the top 10?
In terms of a recruiting class?
Yes.
I mean, there might have been one over the course of the last handful of years, but predominantly.
Like largely, you're in the top 7 to 8 every year, so rankings aren't irrelevant. It's just not a perfect system.
There's a reason Clemson and Alabama get the best players from high school, and for the most part, they turn out to be the best players in college. Doesn't mean you can't find a Jamar Jefferson, Marcus Mariota. Like, there are diamonds in the rough, without a doubt, but.
I'm wondering if this is going to change him. Because these guys can be really, they can be blocked from a lot of outside noise. It is easy for them to do that. But this is picking up a lot of conversation and steam, and this is not sitting well, I think, with most Beaver fans. Some like that listener, we've had a few people tweet us and been like, well, this is not that big a deal. Riley didn't do this, and he won. Riley, Twitter launched in what year? 2008?
2007, 2008, somewhere in there.
But people really didn't start using it till 9 or 10. So like when Riley got on, that was kind of the end of his tenure. He won before really Twitter was anything to anybody.
The recruiting landscape was completely different 15 years ago.
Right. And now I'll use the arch rival here. If Oregon was doing this, if this was crystal ball with this comment and Oregon State was having some success, maybe not to the level, but having some success, Beaver fan would react how? Probably laughing and making fun of him.
Right. And as a Duck fan, I would be livid with the comment like that.
Okay. And now, again, I think Cristobal and Oregon, their staff have to go prove it on the field with coaching and go win games. But right now, you can't tell me that social media hasn't helped this momentum wave that they've been riding.
It's had a big impact on it, no doubt.
So, you know, I think some of their problem on their staff is the recruiters themselves. Who's their energizing life force on the recruiting trail? Oregon has like 3 or 4 of those guys, including its head coach.
Right.
Oregon State is a more traditional, well, all right, like, let's sit down, let's call you on the phone and we'll have a nice chat. And to act like having something flashy or funny or interesting or cool on Twitter or Instagram doesn't matter to a 17-year-old who's undecided and maybe thinking about Oregon State, that's where you lose me, because that's a chance for you to shout out to that kid, hey, we're having a lot of fun out here. We're going to turn this thing around. We're going to win. There's an audience for that.
Right.
And you are basically turning your back on that audience and hoping all the 2-star kids mixed with a couple 3-stars just come work hard and develop. And that's fine. For the most part, that's what you are anyway. But I don't like, as an Oregon State alum, I do not like you turning your back on the potential of going to go get the Brandon Cook 4-star kids who want to work hard and also see how exciting it can be in Corvallis.
Right, right. A couple more thoughts here. Somebody said, I don't know what the big deal is. Look at a school like Wisconsin, which for several decades now has been one of the most consistent teams in college football. Some of the best players, for a coach, where did that go? We're getting too many that got jumbled. Walk-ons are 2 or 3 stars. Wisconsin also does not have a strong Twitter presence. For example, the head coach, Paul Chris, does not even have a Twitter account. So first off, I don't like using analogies further back than 10 years on this, because social media, again, did not exist more than 10 years. It was not an impact in recruiting in 2005, 2006, 2007. People weren't on MySpace, you know, being your top eight. That wasn't a part of recruiting 10, 12, 13 years ago. So this is a newer landscape that we're dealing with. And again, I don't like that mindset for Oregon State. Like that to me, you're losing as a fan if your opinion is, well, look, Wisconsin can do it without being on Twitter. So why can't we? Like, that's no different to me than the people that are texting and tweeting, Nick Saban's not on Twitter. He's also the greatest college football coach of all time who's at Alabama.
Well,
he doesn't have to be on Twitter.
His staff, I mean, alone. You
know, Nick Saban can go walk into a living room and either offer or not offer any five-star that he wants and get them because he's freaking Nick Saban. Like, you're not there. Yeah. Like, I hate
he's
that
also
approach.
On national TV every game, and Oregon State's barely on TV.
I hate
it
that
is.
Mentality. Like, well, because Wisconsin does it this way, we can too. Wisconsin has a strong legacy of college football. They have been a sound program for decade after decade after decade. They have a built-in advantage when it comes to the kind of players they go after, the kids that grew up wanting to go to Wisconsin. Like, don't use yourself in those kind of analogies. This is the prime example, and one that we got texted in that I love. I thought it was a really good point. Was saying not using social media is like Saban not converting to the spread. He didn't want to, but he adapted because you do things even if they're uncomfortable, if you want to be successful. Every industry and every landscape is like this. You have to adapt or die. And we go through this a lot in the radio industry. Some of us were frustrated with not more, you know, the podcast coming later, not a bigger presence on social media to develop more listeners. Like, there's a lot more that over the years that we've been here that we could have been doing behind the scenes to grow our audience and to have a bigger presence out there with people that listen to radio. And now we're finally getting there because, again, you adapt or die. You have to learn how to translate to the young kids. And we might, again, think that it's stupid or you don't need to retweet a 17-year-old highlight video. But if that's going to be a thing that matters to him, you're just losing out on a free opportunity to win some points with a recruit.
Yeah, somebody says he doesn't have to like Twitter. He doesn't even have to personally tweet. But Jesus, have a presence and understand that recruiting has changed. You know who's really good at this? And their recruiting classes are never really that great, but he does end up getting the players that clearly fit his system. Mike Leach.
Yeah.
The Pirate is really good on Twitter.
He's really funny. Yeah.
Sans the political commentary that he'll sprinkle in there on a random August afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
He executes Twitter to the point where it gets people talking and it gets people all going. And look, I'm not even telling you his Twitter account really reaches the 17-year-old kid. But he even understands that, like, Twitter is important. He'll retweet the Cougar account. Just picked up this kid. In-house visit. Whatever. That matters. Like, you haven't tweeted since October. That's a problem. Right, and I think this last one that I saw is a great point. Saban wasn't on Twitter. Crystal Ball and Kirby Smart were.
As a part of his staff.
Crystal Ball won Recruiter of the Year.
Yeah. And he is probably, when you think about a football mentality, Cristobal is like one of the most old school guys you'll find.
Yes.
He's hard nosed.
He wants the line.
Offensive lineman.
Yes. Like, let's pound the rock.
Right? Like, that is as old school as you could possibly get. Another example of that is a guy like Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is as old school as you can get, but he makes fun of himself. He's got a presence. Like, you're just missing a free opportunity. And I think that's the basis of the argument.
I think
here.
Dickard's right, too. Like, it does make feel kids, and it may not land you them. It makes kids feel wanted.
Yes. Like, wow. How about that? Like, Jonathan Smith retweeted
me. I'm taking a mindset of a 32-year-old right now that if I know who I was in high school, if I'm playing high school football and I'm really good, I'm like, just three stages above Anteater Johnson good.
That's pretty damn good.
But I'm getting recruited by this school, that school, and that school, and Twitter's around, and I see Jonathan Smith retweeting something.
Yeah,
or
tweeting you saying, hey, great game Friday.
Whatever. Yeah, like, he's in my DMs. Like, I'm like, holy crap. This is
Jonathan Smith.
That matters to me. That's a cool feeling. And again, you may not even be picking Oregon State, but feeling wanted and appreciated. I hate saying this because it does pain me, but Oregon is capitalizing on doing that.
Right, right.
Hey, let's make the coolest graphic with you. Hey, why don't you come to this and everybody and their mom's going to show up and welcome you. Hey, why don't you come look at our closet of Jordans? You can't compete with some of that stuff in Corvallis. but you can do some of the things that they're doing. And social media is a big part of that.
Yep. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Thanks for the responses on that segment. I know Beaver fans are passionate. You want to be better. And that was one that caused a bit of an issue on social media yesterday. So
he needs to win. If this is going to ultimately prove to not matter at all.
Hey, go win, man. Prove us wrong. You don't need to do it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're winning in 3 or 4 years and you're getting 6, 7, 8 wins, then I will have no problem going, I guess it didn't matter whatsoever. But
yeah. Until then, everything matters.
Yeah.
Swags Plums coming up at 2:15. We got to talk a lot about the Blazers in game two, and that's where we'll start. How are we feeling going into the pivotal game tonight? Down in the Bay Area, Portland trying to avoid an 0-2 hole. We'll start the final hour there next. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.